second chapter, Hebrews, verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Now look at this verse. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? What I said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Father in heaven, it's a great privilege to be in this great church with this great man of God. I'm humbled because you allow me to be here to preach, and I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I really need you to help me to be a blessing, and I pray that you speak to hearts. I pray that Jesus would be glorified, and I pray that, Father, there be one, just one, without Christ, never been saved, that today they'd get saved. Please help us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. I mentioned in the Sunday school, if you weren't here, I got saved July 2nd, 1961. That's 53 years ago. And I thank God for every minute I've been saved. I really have. I just can't tell you the joy of being saved and knowing you're saved. Before I got saved, to be honest, I didn't know anything about the Bible. I knew nothing about, if you'd have walked up and said, have you been born again? I would have been like Nicodemus. What? I had no idea what that meant. I'd never, until I was 16, I never even saw a church pew, a pulpit, songbook. I'd never been in a service. I never saw a preacher and saw what he does. I didn't know there were chairs on the pulpit and everything. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what kind of lighting they had. I had no idea what the inside of a church was. And at 16, I got my driver's license, so I was begging the family car every time I get a chance to drive. I'd ask him, can I go? I'll go to the store. So I got up on Sunday morning and asked my dad if I could take my sister and go to church. He looked at me like I had three heads. He really did, because I never saw him in church, never saw him pray, never saw my mom pray, never saw them in church. So we drove into the church in my hometown, and my sister and I went in. We went into Sunday school because they told us when we were going in. We didn't know where to go. We didn't know what Sunday school. What Sunday school? I had no idea. But they said, you go in there, your teen class is in there. So we went in, and lo and behold, there's young people from the high school where I went. So we sat there. Now, we did have a Bible at our house. It was a white Bible, zipper Bible. Nobody ever read it. I picked it up when I was about 12 years old and read some of it, started the first chapter. And honestly, it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't understand it and so on. So I just put it down. I didn't reject it so much. I just didn't understand it. And I didn't know it of its importance. I did know later as I grew that it did have something to do with God and church. I didn't get that much. Even though it wasn't until I was 18 that I understood that the baby Jesus that Christmas was all about grew up and died on a cross and was buried and rose again, and that's what Easter is all about. I never put that together until I was 18 years old. So here I'm sitting in a Sunday school class, and I got this little white Bible, but nobody else had a Bible. None of the young people had a Bible. I was embarrassed. So I sat on that Bible, because I didn't know what to do with it, you know. So we got up, and then they told us to go in this, and then we followed the herd, really, ended up in the auditorium. And I sat in the back row, and my sister and I, and then they started, and then I think they might have sang about 25 or 30 songs, I'm not sure, but it just seemed like we were forever singing. And with the amen on the end. That was good, wouldn't you say that? That's the only solo you'll get, all right? But then a man came out in a dress. I couldn't understand why he's in a dress. What in the world? And he got up, mumbled something. I couldn't understand what he's saying. I didn't know what he said. And I went home. And when I walked out of the church, nobody said, hi, good to see you. Glad you came. What's your name? Will you come back again? I felt like I broke the trespass law. And I said, I ain't never going to do that again. I ain't never going back. Because I thought that's the way all churches were. I really did. I thought all churches are like that. I didn't know there were churches that had a pastor who stood up and preached the Word of God, and preached the Word of God so you can understand it, and preached the Word of God so that you can make a decision for God. See, I didn't know. And finally, we bought a brand new house, my wife and I, and Jesse's mother, Bonnie. We bought this in 1961. We bought a 3-bedroom ranch house, preacher, 3-bedroom ranch. We paid $11,241 for that thing. Can you imagine paying $11,240 for a house? and moved into that house right across the street from a couple who'd gotten saved. And they were going to a little church that was meeting in an elementary school building, public school. And the preacher had started that church, Newburgh Baptist Church. And we went that Sunday morning with them. And I didn't know what I was going forward because my wife wanted to go and she's crying. And so I just went, where are we going? I don't know. Went up here and he sat me down up here in front of everybody. It was an elementary school class room. So, and you know, everybody's right there. In fact, when I looked out, there was only about 35 people there, but it looked like 3,500 to me. And so the preacher opened up the Bible and he said, he read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he said, now, Fred, you make up the world, don't you? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, then let's put your name in here. For God so loved Fred Schindler that he gave his only begotten son. When he said that, I was 22 years old, married, had a beautiful baby, and so on. And everything's going, as far as I know, going pretty good in our life. I wasn't in trouble anywhere. And had a good job at home, had a decent car, things were going good. My wife and I are getting along fine, and so on. And but I said to him, or said to myself, when he said that, I said, I'm going to listen. I'm not going to fight. I'm not going to fuss. I'm going to listen. Because, see, I didn't like anybody witnessing to me. We come up to work at Forge, where I worked at Forge, and they witnessed to me and talked to me, and I'd cuss them out. I'd run, I got my own religion, get out of there. Now, you have to understand something, young men. That was when I was 22 years old. When I got married, I weighed 106 pounds soaking wet full of bananas. 106 pounds. Can you imagine a skinny guy like me? I was so skinny, I had to tease the hair on my legs to keep my socks up. But I'm sitting up here in front of this multitude of people. But I locked them all out of my mind, and I said, I am going to listen. And for the first time in my life, 22 years old, I understood from the Word of God that God loved me. And he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins. And he was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave, victorious over the grave, victorious over sin and the devil. And he was my living Savior. And if I would repent and trust him, my Savior, he would save me and forgive me my sins. Guess what I did? I did that. I mean, I want to tell you something. Instantaneously, God changed my life. I mean, right then, I was headed to hell, and I was running. But when God saved me, I mean, God just turned me around, changed my life. I'm glad that when you get saved, you get changed on the inside. And they watched me, and they'd say, "Boy, Fred Schindler really got saved." Like you get saved, so saved. So, but the real truth is God saved me and changed my life. And I want, you know what? And then later on, God called me to preach. And I've been spending my life going around trying to get people to be serious just for a few minutes. I've been preaching for 52 years. 52 years I've been pleading with people, will you just stop and listen just for a few minutes? Just listen. Forget all the arguments. Forget all about all the excuses. Forget about all the reasoning. Forget about all the bad Christians, you know. Forget about all the bad preachers. Forget about all that. And will you just listen? Just listen for one time with your heart and see if it doesn't make sense what the preacher's saying. Okay? And that's kind of what I want you to do this morning, because I want to talk to you about this so great a salvation. We talk about salvation. We talk about saved and everything. I probably heard those terms, didn't understand what they meant. See, but God wants us to understand what he, and the question I'm going to ask you this morning is, how does God save sinners? We got all these churches and all these preachers and all these TV programs, and everybody's announcing some kind of form, some kind of idea, some propagating some kind of a plan. But the real truth is, can we just for a minute and just listen to the Word of God, and let's try and find out what God has to say about it. Maybe just you'll do what I did. I said, I'm going to listen. And when I listened, nobody had to beat me up and nobody had to twist my arm. Nobody made me do anything. I just in my heart understood. And when I understood, that's what I wanted. I'm so glad, glory to God, that I listened. I'm so glad. Man, I wish I could just take time and tell you the testimony of 53 years of serving the Lord and what God's done. See? But I want to just talk to you. Let's talk about salvation just for a few minutes, all right? Number one, the question is, will God save everybody? No. That's called universalism. No. God's not going to save everybody. Not everybody. But see, I used to think, well, I'm a there's God and God's my father. And I mean, you know, and I'm one of God's children. That's not true. If you read what Jesus said, Jesus told the religious people of his day, he said, you're of your father, the devil. See? And now, am I a child of God now? Yes. Well, the Bible says, for as many as received Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Those that believe in his name. Why is that doing that? Is that me? Yeah. Well, it's probably me unplugged. Oh, let's try that. Now, so I know this, that God, when he saves you, you become a child of God. Behold, what manner of love that God has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Some of you might know the verse in John, the third chapter. It says that Jesus had a visitor one night. Said, there's a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. Now, we call a Pharisee somebody as a hypocrite or something. But the real truth is, this man was a Pharisee. He was the teacher of the Jews. He was a very, very religious man. He'd be like a bishop or something in some big denomination. He's big cheese. And he came to Jesus. He said, Master, we know that thou art come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Wow. He said, well, how can I be born again when I'm old? Must I enter my mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, except a man be born of the water and the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He said, I don't understand. How can these things be? Jesus told him again, you must be born again. You must be born again. And so when a person gets saved, God births him into his family. So you become a child of God when you get saved. See? And your life becomes different because you are now born again and a member of God's family. So not everybody is going to do that. Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus is talking and he's teaching there. And he said that not everyone that come to me, he says, is going to go to heaven. He said, because the road's narrow. And that narrow road to life is narrow. Not many people are going to get on it. He said, but the wide road to destruction, there are going to be many on that. And many will come to me in that day, the judgment day, and said, well, have we not done this, and have we not done that, and have we not? Well, I don't understand. We've done this all in the name of the Lord. And he said, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Right. They didn't lose their salvation. They never were saved. Right. So there's going to be a tremendous amount of people who are going to die and go to hell. That's sad. Think about it. But Jesus said that he is the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So those who come through Jesus Christ, those who come to him, the Bible says they're going to be saved, going to have eternal life, going to have their sins forgiven, and they're going to become children of God. Not everybody's going to do that. And if I'd have turned down God and ignored God and ignored God and so on, I could have lived my whole adult life, and I could die and go to hell, be gone to hell forever and ever and ever and ever. Will God save all? No. How will God save none? That's fatalism. No, 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 no. There's going to be people saved. There are going to be people who are going to go to heaven. Heaven's going to be a fantastic place of millions and millions of people who have been saved. Well, then, will he save some? Yes. That's biblicism. The Bible teaches that. So the question is, are you saved? The Bible says that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so, have you ever come to a place in your life where you have called upon the Lord for salvation? Not to be raised up from some terrible situation or circumstances or from health problems, but have you ever called upon the Lord as your personal Savior? I was out knocking doors, Lynn and I, and we knocked on this door. And, didn't knock on this door. We went up the steps to knock on the door. And there was a man standing at the head of the steps, standing on a porch. So I struck up a conversation with him, chit-chatting for a few minutes. I said, sir, I'd like to ask you a question if I could. He said, sure. I said, if you died today, right now, are you 100% sure you're going to go to heaven? He said, yes, I believe I am. I said, well, good. I said, what are you trusting in? What are you trusting in right now to get you to heaven? He said, well, I'm doing the best I can. That's what he said. I'm doing the best I can. And I said, can I ask you another question? He said, sure. I said, if you could do the best you can and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? I've asked that, and somebody said, well, I was talking to a lady. She's in her 70s at that time. I was about 30 years old. This lady was, in fact, she was 78 years old. She had taught Sunday school class in a Methodist church for 50 years. And I was talking to her about salvation. And she said, well, I teach Sunday school for 50 years. Wow. Well, if you could teach Sunday school and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? If you could join a church and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? If you could get baptized and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? If you could just be a good neighbor and pay your bills and be nice to people and get to heaven, why did Jesus die? And another question is, who's the Savior, you or me? Is Jesus the Savior or is Fred Shun the Savior? Or if I'm the Savior, what am I supposed to do to get saved? What does God expect of me? You know what? The Bible doesn't tell me that there's anything I can do. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. See, I've lived for 53 years for God. I've never gone back out in the world. I'm not saying I'm a perfect Christian, and I'm not saying I haven't had a lot of, you know, battles with the sin and devil and so on, but I've never gone back on God. Never have. And I hope by the grace of God I never will. So wouldn't you think if I preached the gospel for 50 some years and went to church, and somebody stopped at the door this morning, I said, you still going to church? I said, yeah, I got a bad habit. I just go to church all the time. You know, the real truth, I've gone to church. In fact, I've gone to church almost as much in the last 9 years as I've gone the years before, because I'm going and preaching. I'm there for 5 days and 10 days at a time, you know, and so on. But the real truth is, wouldn't you think, honestly, if I had that philosophy, I could say, well, why wouldn't I go to heaven? God, you, I mean, I served God, preached the gospel all these 53 years, and I would think that God let me into heaven. Then I could go to heaven and say, man, you know what I did? I preached for 52 years. That's why I'm here. Stinks, doesn't it? Yeah. No, because I'm not the Savior. He's the Savior. He's the one that saves, not me. God never, ever, you know, God didn't consult me about salvation. He didn't consult me about creation either. There's nothing. He's never come to you and say, well, listen, what do you think? What would you like to do to get to heaven? He never did do that. No. He wants to save us, and he wants us to know there's no way that we can get saved ourselves. Salvation is not by doing. If it was by doing, you'd never know if you did enough. Here's what somebody just told me recently. When I get to heaven, I'll get to heaven. She says, I'm hoping this will happen. I said, all my bad works will be in one side of the scale, and all my good works will be in the other. And if my good works far outweigh my bad works, then I'm going to go to heaven. God's going to take me to heaven because I have more good works than bad works. That's the only problem, is God doesn't save that way, and he puts Jesus in one side and you in the other. And that's where we fall short, see, because we've all sinned. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. One lady was talking about salvation, and she said, well, I don't think I'm a sinner. And so the preacher talking to her said, well, how old are you? She said, mind telling me? She said, well, I'm 30. So well, let me ask you a question. Do you think probably as an adult you have sinned against God at least in word and deed and attitude at least once a day? Would you admit that? You've sinned in word, deed, and attitude? I'd say we'd all have to say, yeah. She said, so if you did that 3 times a day for 30 years, how many sins do you think you'd have? You got thousands of sins, 30,000 sins or more. What about those sins? What about those sins? How are you going to get to heaven with those sins? What's going to happen to those sins? See? And so she had to come to a place and realize, man, I've got a sin problem. See, it's kind of like these three fingers. You know, here's me, here's my sin, and here's God. I'm going to go to heaven because I got a sin problem. Unless I can get rid of my sin, that's between me and God, I can't get to heaven. God's going to let sin in heaven. So the answer then is, how do I get rid of my sin? I can't. But God did. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So his Son came, went to the cross of Calvary, and the Bible says he bore in his body. In other words, he took the punishment for your sin and my sin. Literally, he took my hell. He took my punishment of hell forever and ever, and he paid the price. And he took your sin. Now, if you can find some other place to find where God will accept you putting your sins or dealing with your sins, maybe you can get to heaven. But I'm going to tell you, there ain't no way. Because when Jesus came, he did one thing on the cross of Calvary that makes the difference. It's interesting, when Jesus died, you know what he said? He said, just the last words he said, tetelestai. That's a Greek word that means paid in full. It is finished. It's translated, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. He said, it is finished. What he's saying is, I have finished whatever needs to be done to save every living person. I have done that. It is finished. And so he shed his blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so Jesus Christ came and died and shed his blood to wash away my sins. See? Now, if you're going to get saved, if you're not saved, you're going to have to believe something about that blood. You're going to have to realize that God is 100% satisfied with the blood. 100% satisfied. He doesn't need anything else. He don't need promises from you. He don't need your works. He don't need anything that you have. He doesn't want it, doesn't need it, and won't take. And anything we could do wouldn't even come close to match the blood of Jesus Christ. But Jesus died, and when he did, he bore in his body all of our sins, so that our sins, when he's buried, he took our sins away. He buried him in the deepest part of the sea. They're gone. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. They're washed away. Gone. And so when I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, he forgives me of all my sins, past sins, present sins, future sins, because all my sins were paid for. See? And some guy says, well, that, only your past sins. I said, I know I look old, but I'm not 2,000 years old. If Jesus only died for my past sins, I'd have to be 2,000 years old. But see, I got born in 1935 years or so after the cross. But all my sin was paid for by Jesus Christ. Amen. See? And so if God is satisfied with the blood for washing away sins, you and I need to be satisfied. Because if that satisfies God, I ought to be satisfied. See, but we have this stubborn thing about it. It's our sinful nature that always wants to go and bargain with God and argue with God and try to do something to get salvation. It never works. Let me real quickly some things that a sinner has to know to get saved. Let's say you're sitting here this morning and you're not sure of heaven. You're not sure. You believe in God. You're in church. You're probably a good person. You try to pay your bills. You try to be decent. You probably try to be a good neighbor, good mother, good father, whatever. And you're a good person and so on. But the real truth is, if I ask you, and I'm going to ask you, if you died right now, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? Are you? If not, will you just listen again for just a few minutes? What do you have to do to get saved? What do you have to believe? Number one, you have to believe that you're a sinner. You have to believe you're a sinner. I heard that story. Dr. Hiles told years and years ago in a pastor school. He said this lady came to the Sunday morning service and they'd been praying for her, had witnessed her over and over. And so when she come by the line, he stopped her and welcomed her and talked to her for a minute. Said, by the way, you know, you need to be saved. She said, I don't need to be saved. I'm a good woman. Said, well, the Bible says you need to be born again. She said, I've told you I'm a good woman. And Dr. Hiles said, well, I'm sorry. Then you're going to have to go to hell. Because God didn't come to save good people. He came to save sinners. See? And the real problem is she would not recognize that she has sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us. See? There's none righteous, no, not one. And we have this big problem. We have a sinful life. And that sin must be. So we have to believe we're a sinner. Number two, we have to believe that we're lost and on our way to hell. If you're not saved and you die, you go to hell. If you're saved, you go to heaven. The Bible said, absent from body, present with the Lord. So I know when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. But if I die without being saved, I go to hell. If you don't believe that, you can't be saved. What are you getting saved from? Why would you want to get saved? Saved from what? You get saved from the penalty of sin. You get saved so you don't have to go to hell. See? So you have to believe you're a sinner. You have to believe you're going to go to hell. And you have to believe that salvation is not by your will, but by God's will. Mm-hmm. Salvation is not by church membership. It's not by baptism. You can get baptized, capsized, galvanized, and simonized. You're not going to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Why is it so great? That it's so great a salvation. Well, one reason is because God planned it. This is God's plan of salvation. It's God's salvation. God's gift to you and I. See, salvation's a gift. The gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. See, you hear my wife's testimony, and she'll tell you about her first husband died of cancer. He was unsaved. Many, many, many people witnessed to him. A month before he died, they got in a conversation, her and him, and so on, and she ended up giving him illustration. You just have to receive a gift. The gift is eternal life. And he understood it, and he got saved a month before he died. See, salvation is a gift. See, if I reached in my pocket and I said, I want to give you this jackknife here. Reach out and get it. No, reach out and get it. Go ahead, reach out. I'm not playing with you. Go ahead. No, I want you to wash my car. You wash my car, I'll give it to you. Now, is it a gift? No, he'd be earning it. He'd have every right to come, go wash my car, come back, give me the knife. Because he earned it. See, salvation is a gift. You can't earn a gift. A gift is something you receive. And so you have to recognize that you're a sinner, you're lost and going to hell, and you have to realize that you need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift. Here's another thing about what you need to learn. You need to know that you cannot believe and be saved without repentance. Now, repentance is not just change your mind, though the word repentance means change your mind. That's what it actually means. Well, change your mind about what? Well, the Bible says, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. So what is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel is Christ died for our sins, was buried, he died for our sins according to Scripture, was buried, rose again according to Scriptures. So what did Jesus die? He died for our sins. So what am I going to repent about? I'm going to repent about that which Jesus died for, the sins. I like evangelist came to me, came in our church years ago, 1980, preached for me. He says, you know, I love it when I turn down sin. That's one sin Jesus didn't have to pay for. Huh? But the real truth is that you need to repent. You need to be a repentant sinner. Jesus said, repent or perish. See? And you need to change your mind about where you're going and what you're doing. You need to change your mind about who you are and what you are before God. God says you're a sinner. God says, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We're all unrighteous. And we have a problem. What am I going to do with this sin? Well, God said, I'll take care of that sin. I did it 2,000 years ago on Calvary. My son came and paid the price for that. See? So you need to repent. You need to be, you need to have a godly sorrow over the fact that you sinned against God. Something else. God only saves those who come to him in repentance through faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work. It's so great because God planned that. It's all God's plan. Then the Lord Jesus Christ brought that plan and brought it to pass on the cross of Calvary. The word of God proclaims it. The new birth provides it, and grace brings it, and because of that, you receive eternal life. The Bible says, these things write, in 1 John 5, these things write I unto you, and write unto you, that if you, I'm having a senior moment. Turn over to 1 John, 5th chapter. I want you to look at it anyway. First John 5. And look at verse number 11. 1 John 5, verse number 11. This is the record. In other words, John's writing, he said, this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. All right, look at this. He said, this is the record. I want you to know something. Listen, I'm writing a record. God has given us eternal life. Now, if you had eternal life, how long is that for? It's forever. Huh? So God wants you to have life eternal. Where's it at? And this life is in where? His Son. So the life is in His Son. Now look what it says. He said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know. See that? Know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. All right? Now, let me see if I can illustrate that. All right? Here's a sermon I'm going to preach tonight. Okay? Now, let's say I put these notes. You see them notes? It's a Bible? No doubt about it. Okay? I'm going to put that in this Bible. Now, wherever this Bible goes, the notes go. Right? If I give him the Bible, he takes the Bible, the notes are in the Bible. Why? Because I put it in here. That's worth. Okay? Now, here's what God said. God said, I've given you eternal life. This is what I told that lady, that Sunday school teacher for 50 years. This is what I told her. And she got saved because of this illustration. First time I ever used it. I said, God said, God has given us eternal life. So let's represent eternal life. He said, that life is in His Son. So let's say the Bible represent the Son. Okay? All right? So wherever the Son is, wherever Jesus is, eternal life is in Him. Right? Now, do you believe that's a note? Those are lights? I know you can't read them. I can't hardly read them. You get cold. All right? And do you believe that's the Bible? No doubt about it? No, you're convinced. No doubt about it. Okay, so you believe. Now, I want to ask you a dumb question. It's a dumb question. Do you have in your possession this Bible? No. But you believe it's a Bible, and you believe it's notes. Here's what I told that lady. I said, see, you believe Jesus Christ. You believe He's the Savior. He died for you, right? She said, yes. I said, and you believe that He's the Savior. She said, yes. I said, but you know what I did on July 2nd? 1961, I received Jesus Christ into my heart. Now, if Jesus come into my heart, where's eternal life? Where's it at? It's in my heart. If I just believed about Jesus and believed about Him, I believed He was a Savior, believed He was buried, believed He rose again, and went to church and everything, did everything, but I never had received Jesus Christ. Because it said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So no matter whether you believe about the life, it's whether you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, that's where salvation is. It's in receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, now, let me say this to you. I locked my notes in here somewhere. Hang on a minute. Isn't that fun? All right, I'll finish without my notes. Now, let me just kind of sum this up. In order to get to heaven, in order to be saved, you've got to believe that you're a sinner. Amen. And you need a Savior. Then you have to come to some kind of conclusion to the Word of God. Is how does God do that? Well, God did it by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, through the virgin birth, into this life, lived a full life until He's 30 years old and 33 years old, went to the cross, bore in His body all of our sins, was buried and rose again, and then ascended back up to heaven soon to come again. He's alive, and He's willing to save you if you will come to Him for salvation and forgiveness. God will save you. Now, if you go anywhere else, try anything else, you better be able to convince yourself from the Word of God. But that's what God said. God's Son is the Savior. And thank God, it's a great salvation because it changes your life from the inside out, gives you a whole new life. Jesus called it an abundant life, see. And He changes your life and changes, I mean, the whole outlook of life, everything about your life changes because you've been saved and born again. Let's stand to our feet and bow our heads, please. Father in heaven, I pray that the message has been clear, simple. And I pray, Father, there be some here this morning not saved. God, that they will, like me, like I did, I said, I'm going to listen. And I pray that they've listened. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me talk to you again, please. Everybody, just for a moment, all right? Would you just for a moment, Let me ask you a question. If you died right now today on the way home from this service in a car wreck or something, if you died, where would you go? What are you trusting in to get you there? The only way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The only Savior is. There are no other gods. There is no other religion. Jesus is the only, he's the only living Savior. Every other religion has a dead God planted somewhere in the earth, and bones and dust are where he died, where he's buried. Jesus rose from the dead. He's living. He finished everything he needed to have done to save you. And would you need to come this morning and let this church take somebody and give it to you and, you know, open up the Word of God and show you how to be saved so that you can go to heaven when you die? Can you do that? How many here, every head bowed and every eye closed, how many can raise their hand and said, preacher, I know that I know that I know that I know I am going to heaven. I am born again. I'm saved. I know the Lord is my personal Savior. Here's my hand to testify. Let me see your hand. All right. Okay, you put it down. Now, some here couldn't raise their hand. Why don't you make the right decision right now? You believe in God. You believe in church. You go to church. You're here. But how about that one step? It makes the difference that you come and get saved. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning say, by a lifted hand, you'll say, preacher, pray for me. I am not real sure of heaven. I'm not real sure, but I'm really interested and I need prayer. Would you let me pray for you? Is there someone like that? Hold your hand up. My God, you can't raise your hand to get to heaven. I pray that you'd help them just do what they know in their heart they need to do. They need to come and trust the Lord as their personal Savior. They need to get saved. And I pray that you'd help them to do that this morning. Now, every head bowed and every eye closed.